Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way. This is where you will continue to learn, apply, and even pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor to have you here again today. It really is. Now, what's going to be on our schedule for our 30-minute time together? Well, during our radio seminar, you are going to continue to focus on how to effectively teach and train the children in your life Bible-based financial principles and applications. And then right after the radio seminar, we're going to move right into some great questions parents have about helping their children learn and apply what the Bible has to say about money. Next, Dave Ramsey is going to share with us the five things that will make you wealthy. Now, a word of warning here. This is going to be one of Dave's classics, one of his classic rants, okay? A rant with a purpose you're not going to want to miss. And finally, we're going to spend a great minute with Maxwell. As the New York Times best-selling Christian author, speaker, and leadership coach John Maxwell focuses on the word advance. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be a great time together with the Lord. So join me as we open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting with us again today. Will you please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to hear to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, it seems to me that nothing reflects the failure to teach family finances in our society today more than the national divorce rate. I mean, the data shows that about half of all of the marriages are going to fail within the first 6 years. And by the way, all marriages, to include Christian marriages, half of them are going to go down within the first 6 years. And what we find is that the average income of these divorcing couples nowadays is between $30,000 and $50,000 a year. So income generally is not the problem. What is the problem? Ignorance. Simply not knowing how to handle the material areas of their lives leads to debt, and then the data shows that debt leads to divorce. Do you realize that the average 28-year-old couple owes about $90,460 to include student loan debt? And maybe even part of a home loan. I mean, and that's just the average. See, what we find is that young couples simply do not know how to make the right financial decisions regarding their income. And what we do know is that, according to the Bible, it is the responsibility of parents to teach their children God's principles. And that includes to teach the children His principles of managing money. Okay? You see, when armed with God's truth, our children are going to be able to detect the lies that our society throws at them about money. So lies such as, things like, go ahead and do it. You owe it to yourself. Or maybe, hey, and I hear this one a lot, hey, you need to stretch yourself financially if you're ever going to be a success. And finally, boy, this is a good one. Maybe some of these are hitting home. I don't know, but interest, man, if you, that's a good thing because it's a good tax shelter. Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, my friend, the bottom line is that we as parents, we are charged by God to teach our children how to handle the material, the financial part of their lives. And in order to do that, we as parents, as parents and grandparents, aunts, uncles, hey, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, what we need to do is to prayerfully start by understanding all of the negative influences and conditions that bombard our children's lives today. And then secondly, we need to prayerfully set some goals for our children, spiritual and financial goals. And third, and it wraps up the first two and all of the other ones, is that we need to bury our pride a little bit and learn what it's like to ask for some help. Now, the good news is that there are a lot of organizations out there that can give you help. Let me say from personal experience, organizations like Crown Financial Ministries and the Dave Ramsey Organization, man, they have some outstanding materials to help teach and train your children Bible-based financial principles and applications. The idea is you need to bury your pride, you need to ask for help because you need to do what needs to be done according to God, that is to help teach your children how to manage the money in their lives. And by the way, that is exactly what all of our Q&A times are all about. Real world people asking real world questions. And what we do, my friend, what we do is that we share those questions and our responses with you, our radio audience, to help you discover or rediscover that there are always spiritual and financial answers to your spiritual and financial questions. You see, there is always hope because there's always God. You know, Larry Burkett and Dave Ramsey, all of the others, you know what? We do not have the answer, but God's Word does. God does. You see, our job is to help you discover Bible-based financial principles and applications, well, so you can get them up and operating in your life and up and operating in the lives of your children. So let's do just that, okay? Today I have several great real-world questions for you to consider, all right? Good questions. Here we go. Here's the first one. Bob, how old should my child be before I begin training him to handle money? Oh, my goodness. My friend, from my personal experience, I got to tell you, for my wife and I, I can suggest that the answer is the younger, the better. I will tell you, in the very, very early ages, say, oh, I don't know, even from 1 to 6, you can teach your children by setting some fair, age-appropriate financial disciplines around your home. I mean, have them do some jobs, okay, age-appropriate jobs, and have them do them without pay. What kind of jobs? Well, jobs like cleaning their rooms and picking up their toys. And then as they grow, well, what you can do is you can set up some elective jobs that they can do for pay. Now, this might include things, I mean, with our family, it included things like cleaning the garage and washing the car, mowing the yard, you know, helping clean the bathrooms, vacuuming. See, what this does is to help teach both the value of money and the ethics of doing a job well. And I got to tell you, the earlier you begin to do this, the better off your children are going to be. Now, as you do, there are a couple of principles that I learned from Larry Burkett years and years ago that should guide you as you begin to teach your children about your finances. Okay, you ready? Got your listening ears on? First of all, whatever you do, you need to be fair. For example, do not overpay and do not underpay. All right? Second, be consistent. I mean, if you have announced that you're not going to pay until a job is done to your liking, well, then stick to it. And if you promise to pay when the job is done, then promptly pay when the job is done. Simply do not promise what you cannot or will not do. Be consistent. Plus, let me share something else with you. Another way to help teach young children the value of money is to help them set some financial goals. And I got to tell you, this can be as simple as earning 50 cents to go buy some ice cream, okay? Or it can be to save enough to buy a coloring book or some piece of technology that they want. You see, associating work with reward, that is an important biblical concept. As Proverbs 16:22 says, a worker's appetite works for him. Great question, Carol. Thanks so much. Now, what about the rest of us? Does this question kind of hit home to you? Are you wondering when you should start or when you should have started teaching your children? Okay, here's another great question. How soon should my children begin to tithe? Oh, my goodness. Now, I got to tell you that I love this question. I really do. This is a great question from someone who is definitely headed in the right direction. Now, how so? Well, because this person already seems to know what the tithe is all about. Now, remember, you can't effectively teach and lead your children someplace that you've never been, right? Okay, right. Now, all right, back to the question. How soon should my children begin to tithe? Well, again, first of all, and from personal experience, I got to suggest that you avoid the nickel and the plate syndrome. You know, when the collection plate comes around, don't scramble to find your child some change or a couple of dollars to drop in. You know, this teaches nothing about living and giving. Children will best learn about tithing by giving from their own resources. You know, basically, I would suggest that your child begin to tithe as soon as he or she has the resources to begin to do so. Now, having said that, I got to suggest to you that at the earlier ages, you're probably going to have to encourage, even insist, that your child gives a portion of what they have to the Lord's work. But then at older ages, say, starting maybe as early as the early teens, depending upon the nature and personality of your child, you can begin to allow him or her to make their own giving decisions. Now remember that giving is nothing more. Listen to this. This is so good. Giving is nothing more than an outside visible indicator to us as to what is going on inside spiritually. You see, it's an indicator to us. It's an indicator to us as to where we stand. It's an indicator to us where our children stand. God already knows. It's an indicator to us as to what's going on inside spiritually. Now, if you're a teenager, if that person doesn't want to give, I would suggest don't force it. What you need to do is to prayerfully work to identify and then work on the inside spiritual problem. Now to help make giving real to your children, one thing my wife and I did was to get our children involved in the lives of other people. For example, you can direct their tithe or a portion of their tithe to go directly support a family in need. And if you do, then your children are going to begin to see the direct effect that their giving has on the lives of other people. So basically, Philip, I got to tell you, make sure that you understand and are applying what the Bible has to say about giving, and then seek some help to pass along what the Lord has shown you and why, to pass that along to your children. Thanks. Thank you for your question. Let's see, how are we doing we're doing all right on time. I think we have time for one more quick question, and it's a good one, and it's along the same line as the one we just saw. The last one was, how soon should my children begin to tithe? This question is, at what age should my children open a savings account? And here again, I would suggest that you start this practice early on, but then they need to be old enough to understand that a bank, and this is a tough lesson to learn because they've been taught so well the other direction. But the age to start would be at the age that they begin to understand that the bank is not a place where they put their money and they never see it again. What they need to understand is that it is a place where their money is saved for future use. Your children especially should be encouraged to save for short-term projects. For example, saving for a trip, maybe a toy, maybe a tricycle, you know, a bike, something like that. This is going to let them associate saving with a reward. They associated work with a reward. They need to understand the relationship between saving and a reward. Plus, you might want to add or match money that they save. I got to tell you from experience, this bonus may be the key to help them start saving regularly if mom and dad matches what they put aside. Now, you and I know that saving money, is a short-term sacrifice to achieve a long-term goal, right? Right. All right. So as your children get older, help them to begin saving for longer-term goals. Now, what kind of goals? Maybe a new wardrobe, maybe a car, maybe even eventually college. You see, saving money, it is a great discipline to have and a great discipline to start sharing with your children. As Proverbs 21:20 says, a wise man saves for the future, But the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Boy, these are some great, great questions about working with your children. I hope they've been a help to you. All right then, my friend, get your listening ears ready for some not-so-soft critical teaching from our friend Dave Ramsey. Are you ready? Here's Dave with the five things you need to make you wealthy.
Now, the stuff we teach here, and have for almost 30 years, is proven. It's no longer an opinion. It's not a theory. I don't agree with Dave Ramsey's advice, which would make you wrong. And I know you're writing a blog from your mother's basement, and you're looking for clickbait using my name. I understand that, but you're wrong. And it's always humorous to me to see people who are broke on Twitter ragging on the advice that I give. Or a broke 26-year-old journalism student, deeply in student loan debt, writing an article about me. That's humorous. Because it's stupid. Here's the thing. Here's the advice that we give you. If you do these five things from the Bible and from your grandmother, they're called common sense, you will win with money 100% of the time. Now, I don't know exactly how long it will take you, and I don't know what win with money will mean, because I cannot predict your income, and I cannot predict the tragedy that you will have to overcome. But subject to your income to tragedy ratio, to the extent you do these five things, you will win with money. You will become wealthy in North America if you will do these five things over and over again. Number one, you need to have a written plan, a budget. Jesus said, don't build a tower without first counting the cost, lest you get halfway up and you're unable to finish, and all who see you begin to mock you and say, this man began to build. No one began to build and was unable to finish. No one accidentally wins at anything. And you're not the exception. I don't like Dave Ramsey's advice. I don't give a crap. You're wrong. You have to do a written game plan with money or you're going to lose. Second thing is you got to get out of debt. Your most powerful wealth-building tool is your income. And when you spend your whole freaking life giving your money to banks who fill up the skyline and have furniture nicer than yours, that makes you stupid. Get out of debt. When you don't have any payments, you know what you've got? Money. Do I care if you get out of debt? Yes, I want you to win. I want you to have a great life. But do I care if you agree with me? No. I don't care if you agree with me. If you don't agree with me about this money stuff, you're what's known as wrong. I've been doing this longer than most of my critics. They were peeing in their diaper while I was doing this stuff. They're wrong. Live on less than you make. Number three. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all that he has. If you spend everything you make, you're a fool. Well, Dave, you don't know about my situation. In America today, wages are stagnant. So why are they stagnant at your house? You know where wages are stagnant? On people who are stagnant. You're only got stagnant wages if you decide to stay there and keep getting those wages. This is not Russia. You can quit. I don't like how much Walmart pays. I don't like how much McDonald's pays. So don't work there, stupid. Go to work for somebody else. I don't like how my company treats me. So leave. Go be somebody. There's no reason that you have to be stuck somewhere because some liberal journalist said you were stuck. You're not stuck. You're stagnant. Don't be stagnant. You know what stagnant pond water does? It grows scum on top. You don't want to be stagnant. You get scummy. You need to go be somebody. You need to leave the cave, kill something, and drag it home. You need to decide that my life is not good enough the way it is. And so I am going to control the controllables. I am going to change some things. Because guess what? Nobody in Washington's going to fix your life. Santa Claus doesn't live there, baby. Have you noticed that the Democrats and the Republicans, neither one could freaking add? Have you ever had any of them send you money? No. They are not going to fix your freaking life. You are going to fix your life. You're going to get on a plan. You're going to get out of debt. You're going to live on less than you make. And then you're going to save some money. You know how rich people get rich? They save money. Wow! I don't know if I agree with Dave Ramsey's investment assumptions. I don't give a crap if you agree with my investment assumptions. You know what my investment assumption is? My assumption is you're going to be broke until you save money. That's my assumption. You need to get up off your assumption and go do something. You need to get up off your assumption and start investing some money. 100% of the people that don't save money don't have any. Wow! How's that for insight? Doesn't take a freaking rocket scientist to figure this out. You know what the problem on your investments are? The problem with your investments is not your rate of return. It's not your expense ratio. It's not no load versus load. It's not your nerdy, twisted up, toxic butt opinion about some investment. Your problem with your investments is you don't have any. That's the problem with your investments. 100% of the people that build wealth save money on purpose a lot. Some people do it poorly in a stupid money market account and make no money on their money. Others do it wisely in mutual funds that outperform the S&P or real estate that they pay cash for that outperforms the S&P. Others are just passive and do the S&P. And they all write books about it and all have a freaking opinion and make money off of you while you're stagnant. That's stupid. Don't be stagnant. Invest money. Save money. You know how you're going to do that? You're going to be on a plan. You're going to get out of debt. You're going to live on less than you make. And voila, there is money in the budget. It's called margin, baby. And now you got the money to be rich. You got to act like rich people. And that's not go spend a bunch of money, moron, because rich people don't go spend a bunch of money. I'm going to go buy a Ferrari. I'm acting like rich people. No, you're acting like a moron. That's not, Ferraris aren't rich people. That's the ultra rich. You don't buy a Ferrari if you're a millionaire. That's a seven. I mean, it's crazy, you people. You know, I'm going to act rich. I'm going to rip people off. That's just a liberal nonsense. Rich people don't rip people off. They didn't get rich by ripping people off. That's just stupid. Don't be stupid. It makes you look bad. Don't do that. And if you'll get out of debt and you'll invest and you live on less than you make and you have a plan, then you can do the last one. It's the most fun you'll ever have with money. You can be outrageously generous, randomly generous, lavishly generous. But broke people can't do that because they sit around and discuss their investment philosophies while they invest nothing. It's like people smoking weed discussing the meaning of life. They ain't getting nothing done. You need to get up off your assumptions and go do something. It's your turn.
Great words from Dave. I just love his passion for what the Lord is giving him to do. Let me ask you, why not let some of that God-given passion surface in your own life as the Lord and you walk down your personal road to financial freedom God's way? Now it is time again for one of my favorite times together with the Lord and you. It is time for another minute with Maxwell. Now recall that John Maxwell is a number one New York Times best-selling Christian author and coach and speaker, and he is considered the world's most influential leadership expert. And today, John's Minute with Maxwell is all about the word advance.
Hi, John Maxwell here. I'm so glad you're with me on Minute with Maxwell as we continue our series on statements of strength during a crisis that we're in. I would encourage you again to let your friends know about Minute with Maxwell and help them to kind of maybe come alongside of us and just hear and receive a statement of strength that might help them and you to just be a little stronger in this adverse wind that we have. So I'm going to give you a quote of one of my favorite people, Jim Rohn. Jim said, "The difficulties you meet will resolve themselves as you advance." Those are the three key words. I'll say it again. The difficulties that you meet will resolve themselves as you advance. Proceed, and light will dawn, and shine with increasing clearness on your path. You see, the problem is that most of us, during adversity, instead of proceeding and going forward, we stop, we freeze. That's just kind of a natural human tendency to say, oh my, what's happening? And instead of moving forward as we should, or advancing and learning and growing and developing, we have a tendency just to put everything on a hold and kind of cross our fingers and close our eyes and just kind of hope it all goes away, which it doesn't. One of my favorite teachings is what I call advanced attraction. Advanced attraction basically just simply says this. When you really know who you are and you know what you want, if you proceed, if you advance, if you move, then people, resources, opportunities will begin to flow to you. But they only flow to the person who moves. They don't flow to the person who waits, stops, holds on. You have to advance. I know that. Jim Rohn knows that. So let's do it. What do you say? Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow, what another great teaching. Today's statement of strength, what I hear is John saying that the difficulties that we meet are going to resolve themselves as we advance, as we proceed. As we proceed, the light is going to dawn and it's going to shine with increasing clearness on our path. John says that persistence and resilience only come from having been given the chance to work through difficult problems. Boy, I got to tell you, this includes difficult financial problems in our lives and in the lives of our children and our families, right? Oh my, what a good, appropriate, current word from Maxwell. Thank you, John. Okay, that just about wraps up our time together for today. Recall that during the radio seminar, you continued to focus on how you can start to effectively teach and train the children in your life Bible-based financial principles and applications. And by the way, we're going to continue talking about the link between your children and finances for the next couple of weeks. Then, you heard some great questions from parents, real-world parents, about how to help their children learn and apply what the Bible has to say about money. Plus, you were blessed by a strong word of encouragement, where Dave Ramsey suggested to you 5 ways to move financially from where you are into financial freedom God's way, and he did it with a whole lot of passion. I am praying the passion that the Holy Spirit is giving Dave will rub off onto you and me as well. And finally, well, you just heard from John Maxwell the importance of movement in your life, how important it is to advance in every area of your walk with the Lord, to include your financial walk. And one more quick point here. As you may know, our website has been having some issues lately. But as far as I know, as of today, as of right now, I do believe that you'll be able to go to www.christianfinancialministries.org. That's www.christianfinancialministries.org. If you go there, you will be able to both re-listen to and download a transcript of today's program. Now, it is time for us to close, and let's do that just as we started, and that is with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come. Will you please help us prayerfully begin to apply all that it is that you're giving us to your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And remember to be back next weekend as you can continue down your personal road to financial freedom God's way.